Hello and welcome to Bend the Knee, a Song of Ice and Fire podcast. I am Sir Matt, the Bud Knight.
And I am Sir Ezra, the Watchful. Friends, welcome back to our Ice and Fire book club. Today we're into Catelyn 1 of A Storm of Swords.
Yes, as this is, a theory actually, well, there will be some theories discussed today about this. The Tansy theory, right? Which is a pretty common one. It's definitely one that's been discussed quite a bit on Reddit and the Song of Ice and Fire forums. What is Hoster Tully saying here? And has he sort of slipping away about Tansy? And, right. Liza, Catelyn, Littlefinger, there's definitely something going on here. And this is where it all sort of really starts.
I mean, Matt, I'll say this. I think there was a girl named Tansy. That's what they say. All right. It's what's mentioned in the chapter. Maybe he was seeing somebody named Tansy back in the day.
All right. There's that. There's, some people think perhaps Tansy refers to some sort of drug, right?
Drug.
Liza could have had to have taken. And then did Littlefinger sleep with Liza? Did he sleep with Catelyn? He thinks
did he know about
Catelyn
it?
Catelyn says no. Right. Yeah. What was going on?
It's like crazy. I love to pull out the one like the thought where it's like, the more complex, the more the one you have to do more work for, the drug, the Tansy connection. And I like to sometimes, just as a joke, look at the more obvious one, right? And it's just like, was there actually someone named Tansy? He's got it just for fun because people are, oh, it's too simple. It's whatever. Yeah, it is. I agree with you. I don't think that is the case, but it's also just fun to think about, Hoster, maybe there was some girl.
Well, there is a Tansy. Who's a barmaid in the Riverlands.
Yeah, there you go. That's where everything, people start, they're like, why is that?
Right. So. Okay. Well, let's go ahead and just dive in. We already talked about it. So Storm Swords chapter 2, Catelyn here. Sir Desmond Grell is Castellan of Riverrun while Edmure is off at battle, and he has confined Catelyn to her father's room for releasing the Kingslayer without the consent of King Rob or Edmure. She is aware Grell has dispatched Sir Robin Rygar to bring back Jaime and hopes that he fails. Her father's room smells of death, and it makes Kat think of Ned and her two youngest boys. Lord Hoster is having fever dreams and mumbling, "Forgive me, the blood, oh, please, Tansy, dead. You'll have others, sweet babies, and trueborn." Catelyn recalls that Liza has had 5 miscarriages since her marriage and deducts that Liza must have miscarried before marrying as well. She realizes that John Arryn had no heir at the time of her and Liza's twin betrothals. He was older than their father, and as a soiled bride, Liza was the price John Arryn had to pay for the swords of House Tully. She does not know who the father of the original miscarriage might have been. Catelyn writes a letter to Liza pleading for her to come to Riverrun before their father passes away, saying he needs your forgiveness. But she realizes Lord Hoster will be gone before the Raven even makes it to the Eyrie. Catelyn goes to the Sept and lights 3 candles, one for the father above, for her own father, one for the crone who lets the first raven into the world when she peered through the door of death, and one for the mother, for Lysa and their children that they had both lost. Later, Edmure returns to Riverrun, informing Catelyn that he had turned away the Lannisters, but that Stannis lost the Battle of King's Landing, and that Highgarden and Dorne have both declared for Joffrey. Edmure scolds Catelyn for freeing Jaime and tells her Cersei will never free Catelyn's daughters, but Catelyn claims Tyrion will be held for the word he spoke in open court, and the Kingslayer gave his word as well. Edmure dismisses the Kingslayer's words as worthless and informs Catelyn that Tyrion took an axe to the head and is most likely dead. Edmure has sent 3 ravens informing Lord Bolton that Jaime has escaped in the hopes of capturing him at Harrenhal. Catelyn despairs because if Jaime is believed to have escaped instead of being released as part of a prisoner swap, the Lannisters have no reason to free her daughters.
Yeah, so in short, Catelyn messed up. She gets on Edmure at the end of
this. Did she?
She gets on him at the end of this saying, he's done the wrong thing, or now they're never, it's almost like, I don't know, the hate on Edmure, or like calling him stupid or that he's not smart or whatever. It's like, come on now, hold on a second. You gave up the Kingslayer, you know, like, and she's yelling and scolding, you know, she's upset with her brother because she thinks like, well, this does us no good. You know what I mean? And it's just like, I get that now that what's done is done, she's trying to say like, okay, this should be kind of kept secret or whatever, but hold on, get me mad at this guy for saying, you know, I want to try to get him back and trying to do what he thinks in the moment is the best thing to do to get Jamie back. Like, Rob's going to come back here and be like, where's my prize chess piece, my prisoner? And
yeah,
it's just kind of,
I mean, I guess the question is, do you think the way she went about it, I think is wrong. Not a good idea. This sort of like secret behind the scenes, going to release him, trusting that Jamie will do the right thing. And of course that doing it without Rob's approval. But I do think the move of the prisoner swap is ultimately a good idea.
Yeah. Had they orchestrated it all together and worked and said, yeah, this is what we wanted. This is what we want to do.
Right.
Right. As a group, like, can, like, have everybody have their opinions put in there, talk to the Freys about it.
Right.
I mean, really.
Yeah. Especially because, well, you have the Freys have something about it. Because I would say right now, if people think that Tyrion is going to die, if you have Jaime Lannister, you now have the heir of like House Lannister. Because, you know, Joffrey's a Baratheon. So you have some serious leverage on House Lannister to say, okay, here's what we want. You can have Jaime back. We want Arya and Sansa because they don't know that Arya's gone. Like, not everyone knows Arya's gone, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You have Jaime back. We want Arya and Sansa, and we want Northern independence. And here you go.
Yeah. That's a pretty big piece to play. I mean, and the thing is that, like, to get his son back, I think Tywin, you also know how difficult it is to invade the North and to get past Moat Cailin. You understand the Freys are their allies right now and everything is good. So like two big mistakes happen here, which is what Rob does in his marriage, and kind of slighting the Freys. And then you have what Catelyn does. So they, all the victory and all the war that's going on, their control of the Riverlands and everything, even the harrying of Casterly Rock, it's all kind of undone in these two moves,
right,
by their two top figures. It's just like, wow. And then I guess what I think is that people think what Catelyn did here was like a smart move, but how would it, let's say this works out and Brienne gets down there and there is an exchange, right? They get Jaime Lannister back, and then Sansa and Arya come back to Catelyn, right? And the swap is made. At that point, isn't it still just warfare? Aren't we still just war? Or is there like, does she think at that point there will be a peaceful exchange of prisoners, and then we're going to just call this thing a stalemate, or all is going to be,
you could, I think that's an option, but I would say even if the war was going to continue, I would say that even if they, so let's say you didn't get Northern independence, like that's one of the things you went for, I think you're still at a better, even though you're giving them, you know, one of the best swordsmen and a battle commander, getting, in theory, this is because we know Arya's gone, but getting in Sansa and Arya back is a way more valuable piece right now during this whole war than having Jaime, because you've taken a battle commander off the field, but you've already beaten him, and Rob is kind of like winning a lot of battles. You've now just gained two assets to marry off. That's, you know, not the best way to look at it, but that's Song of Ice and Fire, the way things work, right?
Right.
You can marry Sansa and Arya off, and you've now just gained two more allies.
Yeah, for sure.
Because you could say, all right, we're going to marry Sansa to, say, Sweet Robin, mm-hmm, right? I mean, that's, you know, okay, now, like, that's going to force the Vale into the war because they're not in it yet.
Yeah.
Or we're going to marry Arya off to whoever. I don't know.
Yeah, someone.
Maybe you, even if it's like, I don't know, a Tarly or some, you know, somebody from a smaller house in a different region, then you can split them up and
go down to Dorne and go crazy. Yeah. 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 Arya wouldn't have liked that, but yeah, I get it. There's a chance to kind of, make those alliances for sure. For sure.
So I would say that getting the girls back, even without like declaring independence, because the problem right now too, is that, the Freys, I mean, it's sort of over now, but the Greyjoys, mm-hmm, invaded,
right?
You know,
yeah, the North. I know, yeah. And so that, yeah, that's part of the problem, I guess. Like, and again, Catelyn doesn't know all the pieces. That's the whole point with this. It's real realistic in terms of like, she doesn't know Rob's making the mistake that he's making. Because that's another piece, right? When the Freys switch over and Roose Bolton and they start to make their packs and stuff like that, once Jaime's out and kind of on the loose, and again, there's still rumors of him, you know, being freed from the Young Wolf or whatever, it's like now they're more aggressive in their pursuit or in their takedown of Rob and Catelyn. So would they have been less aggressive in that if they knew that they had Jaime? You know, if instead of Catelyn holding like a throat to, or a knife to the throat of Jingle Bell, right? If it's right. Jaime Lannister, if somebody there is like holding a knife to him, it's a little bit different. That would, you know, you would just upset, like the Freys wouldn't have done it as much. It would have been different. It just would have been different. It's a piece you could have kept until you were sure you knew what you wanted to do with it. But it's just such a wild gamble by her. It's such a wild gamble, and it and all of them, all of these military leaders, they see it as, again, you're trusting the Kingslayer and his word on this, and bringing back like her. Who's to say he wouldn't just go betray her? And he's sworn. You know what I mean? It's just like he doesn't have a reputable kind of past or whatever. Like, he's not someone that we look at and we say, oh yeah, he's a respectable man, he honors his word all the time, even though we know more about him now as readers. It's like, at that time, the things he does for love, you know, if it helps put his family in a better position, look what he does for Cersei, push a young boy out the window, he doesn't care. So it's like he'll start to kind of turn, and it really would have been Tyrion who I think would have been most helpful in that situation back in King's Landing. But you know, it's such a gamble because there's no like meeting under a white flag, and they've brought, you know, the daughters. You don't even know if they're alive. That's the other piece, is that we know Arya's not there. We know it's only a swap for Sansa. And so again, it's like, yeah, you get why Catelyn does it. You understand that she's just desperate, really desperate, and was worried that her daughters were going to be killed. It's a mother's love, the things that she does for love and for family, right? That's always the thing with her, is what she does for family. But, just unfortunate. Yeah,
it's unfortunate because we ultimately know that it causes them to their downfall. I mean, it's out of sheer, she does this out of sort of sheer desperation. And that's a lot of things. She's a little hot-headed sometimes in her decision, like to capture Tyrion, and then of course to release Jaime. Now, I wouldn't say that it's the whole downfall of them, because even by releasing Jaime, you still could win the war and do all you know, sorts of things. And it's not like Rob hasn't made bad decisions too, letting Theon go.
Right.
Which really comes to but hurt him.
Yeah, it does. Let me read for you guys the part that I think I'm going to talk about here with Edmure. So he shows back up. Catelyn says, "You look unwell. Has something happened?" And so I'm just kind of jumping in. We can go back to the Tansy stuff later here in a second. But he kind of says, "I threw them back. Lord Tywin, Clegane, Marbrand, all of them threw them back." Let's see. Stannis, though. He grimaces. Stannis, what Stannis? "He lost the Battle of King's Landing. His fleet was burned. His army routed. A Lannister victory was ill tidings. But Catelyn could not share her brother's obvious dismay. She still had nightmares about the shadow she had seen slice through Renly's tent, and the way the blood came flowing through the steel of his breastplate. Stannis was no more a friend than Lord Tywin. You do not understand. Highgarden has declared for Joffrey, Dorne as well, all the South. His mouth tightened. And you see fit to loose the Kingslayer. You had no right. So let me tell you straight up, he's got a point there, right? So this was a we just gave up one of our biggest pieces. The Lannisters won. King's Landing is defended. Stannis is defeated and in retreat. Dorne has joined, right? And Highgarden has joined. The entire South now is united against us. And Jaime Lannister, Catelyn, has sent Jaime Lannister away. Because let me go on here a little bit. Because she gets, let me see here. I had a mother's right, she said, right? No right. He was Rob's captive, your king's captive, etc. Bran will keep him safe. She swore it on her sword. That woman, she will deliver Jaime to King's Landing and bring Arya and Sansa back to us. Cersei will never give them up. Not Cersei, Tyrion. He swore it in open court, and the Kingslayer swore it as well. Jaime's word is worthless. As for the imp, he said, it is said that he took an axe in the head during the battle. He'll be dead before Brienne reaches King's Landing, if she ever does. Dead? Could the gods truly be so merciless? Right? And right there, it's like, oh, shoot. It's falling apart on you, you know? Like, what if Jaime just dies along the way? Like, what? Not even if he gets back. What if he's just accidentally killed and Tyrion's killed? You know what I mean? Well, then you just gave up your chess pieces totally to the wind, you know? Yeah. Let's see. Edmure was blind to her disaster. Jaime was my charge, and I mean to keep him safe. I've sent ravens. So here we go. Ravens to whom? How many? Three. So the message will be certain to reach Lord Bolton by river or by road. The way from Riverrun to King's Landing must needs take them close to Harrenhal. Harrenhal, the very words seemed to darken the room. Edmure, you know what you have done. Have no fear. I left your part out. I wrote that Jaime had escaped and offered 1,000 dragons for his recapture. Worse and worse, she thought in my despair. My brother is a fool. If this was an escape, she said softly, not an exchange of hostages, why should the Lannisters give my daughters to Brienne? It will never come to that. The Kingslayer will be returned to us. I have made certain of it. Now, hold on a second, Catelyn. I thought you said that Tyrion and Jaime were going to keep up their word. And that's what this all hinges upon, is their word, right? I get what she's kind of saying is that, like, well, now Riverrun has officially said that he escaped and that they can use, well, no, he just escaped. This whole other piece is just sort of, you know, Catelyn is just making this up. But again, that's what they could say anyways, Matt. Jaime right. could just say he escaped. I mean, he could kill Brienne at some point. She could be taken in, killed, silenced, whatever they want to do. Like, that's exactly, all those things are risks that she took when she did this. And all of that made certain. Let's see. Oh yeah. Whenever come to that, Kingslayer will return to us. I have made certain of it. All you have made certain is that I shall never see my daughters again. No, do not put that on Edmure. I don't think that's fair. I don't think it's fair, Matt. I think that's on you. I think that's on you. Like, again, she's banking on Tyrion, who Lysa had in court and she wrongly accused and imprisoned, right? And he had to do a trial by combat to get out of. And then Jaime is not really a well-known, like a character who we believe to be trustworthy or adhering to his vows necessarily. You know, it's just like, it's just bizarre then to lash out. And I get it. She's angry and she's upset because now she thinks his ravens will be the undoing of all of her work. No, that is not true. Sorry.
No, you're 100% right. And remember, the show makes Edmure seem like Edmure is he in the show. He's just like comedic relief, which there's not very much of in the show. But Edmure is way more intelligent in the books than he is in the show. He's one of the characters that the show does sort of dirty.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you need comedic relief in that show because.
Yeah, for sure.
There's like none. Yeah.
Well, and he's a character who they in the book, it's into that here, you know, right? It's that he's he makes some blunders. He owes some stuff to Rob. I mean, he makes several mistakes just in terms of like pushing Tywin back to where Rob was actually secretly attacking. And then this sending the Ravens out to get Jaime Lannister or whatever. It's like, I mean, from his point of view, Matt, all he wants is the return of Jaime Lannister. What's the best way to ensure that? Well, it's to contact your allies out in the field by Raven and bring him back. So as a military strategy, like commander, he doesn't care. I mean, actually, the mistake he made, I guess, is to say, like, right, that he was an escapee or whatever. I don't think it really matters, though. But like, he could have said, yeah, Catelyn, let him go, you know, whatever you want to say there. If that like makes the story better, it doesn't matter. He wants to get him back. They're not about forwarding this plot of yours. I think she thinks it's gone to a point of no return, right? Okay, we got past Sir Robin Ryger was tailing him down, and then boom, we're good. But you know, Brienne gets past that obstacle. Now Edmure has put up another one, and she's just upset about it. So don't call characterize him as a fool.
Yeah, and her decision to make this. She makes it at really an inopportune time. I mean, to be honest, it's like, we're winning. Why would you?
Right.
It'd be one thing if you were losing. I mean, yeah, Winterfell's like been under siege and whatever, but I guess I don't know. It's like, why right now?
It was the worst time. Because like, actually, had she just waited a little bit, and again, maybe there's no right time to figure all this out, but like, you see, at the time she releases him, There's an attack on King's Landing. We don't know the outcome of that yet. We don't know if your daughters are going to be killed or what's going to happen. And we don't know any of that stuff. And you just free the Kingslayer. Like, that's kind of, again, I just want to point it out because we often take what Catelyn says and we say, oh, yep, her brother's he's a fool, right? Or Lys is this, or this person's that. And it's like, hold on a second.
You would have,
you know,
you would have been better off. You would have been better off saying, hey, like, because you know that you were there. When Stannis kills Renly, I mean, Stannis kills Renly, you know Stannis is going to go attack King's Landing. You would have been better off saying, if you don't release my daughters right now, I'm going to kill Jaime Lannister. Then you pull forces from King's Landing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Actually, just make that threat and be willing to, you know, I think like Cersei and them would be like, well, it's a bluff or whatever. It doesn't matter. It's a bluff that
you have to answer.
That might bring them to the table, right?
That's the whole reason.
Yeah.
Because I mean, the whole reason that Stannis loses is because Tywin goes down.
Yeah.
If you tell Tywin Lannister we are going to kill him, you have until X day to get here. Tywin Lannister would have gone to get Jaime, but I think before he would have gone to King's Landing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could have disrupted a lot of their plans. You could have issued some ultimatum for this to work. And that's what she should have been pushing for and advocating for. And I know she was to some degree, and she felt like there was no other way other than to trust. I mean, it is bonkers to me that she trusts a Lannister, right, who actually shoved her son out the window. We don't know this for sure, but like Lysa writes her a letter saying it's the Lannisters, even though Lysa was actually the one, she and Littlefinger stirring up the whole pot there to get Ned. Right. Down there, but still, there's all these warning signs that it's not good. Her husband was killed. it was killed by the Lannisters.
I know.
And she's going to trust them to get her daughters back, and not trust her son and the other commanders and her brother. And she's lost it. I'm sorry. She has good moments. She has high moments. I like the character, Lady Stoneheart.
She's the one that starts the whole thing. I mean, she is the one who starts the whole thing.
Yeah.
I mean, really. I mean, like, Ned would have gone down and he would have figured stuff out, but I don't know that a war would have broke out over it. I think he just would have went down, figured it out, and whatever. I mean, it's when she captures Tyrion, the whole thing kicks off. I mean, that is the first, like, okay, thing that sends it all off.
Right, right. She gets it wrong there, doesn't she? You know?
Yeah,
she takes the wrong person. So like, she makes mistakes. And see, this is the cleverness of George's writing, is that like, we forget some of those things because she'll have a moment where she gives good counsel. She has wise words. She goes down and speaks reason to Stannis and Renly, which is cool. But at the same time, none of our characters in the story are perfect. They're all human and they make mistakes along the way and stuff. I think we just look over some of hers and we say, yeah, I get it. I understand what. And like, no, I want to point out this is a big deal. Edmure is right in this situation. And I think even to send the Ravens, I think he's right to say, no, we want to try everything we can to get him back. That's a huge, huge deal. So,
yeah.
It's great. I mean, Rob has to like behead one of his,
Karstark.
Yeah. And it's just like, what the heck? Like he, because they're so pissed because, okay, what about their sons that were killed by Jaime? What about they wanted vengeance. They wanted these different, they don't get their children back, you know? So wild. Okay. Now we can switch gears now if we want to. I just had to go off on
that. No, that's fine. Yeah. I mean, that's this chapter itself, by the way, is short. Really as you're right. It's kind of these two things. It's really right. That, and then sort of the Tansy, stuff here.
Right. Tansy conversation.
Cause I think it was about a 25 minute, audio book. That's what I listened to.
Yep.
Right. So Sir Desmond Grell, by the way, there's a character. Boom. Desmond Grell, what's his story, right? Let me pull him up in the wiki and take a look.
Yeah, it's interesting because I pulled him and I can never say this guy's name up. Uther Wayne, got it. He's the steward, right? He's the other one who's there.
Right.
I can never pronounce his first name. But anyways, the steward Wayne, he's there. And then Desmond Grell, as you said. Yeah.
Yeah, I do think it's cool just every once in a while because these minor characters, right? I mean, he's in Clash of Kings, Storm of Swords, A Feast for Crows. Mm-hmm. He asked to join the Night's Watch, and he's joined by Robert Rhaegar.
Yeah. Wow.
And A Feast for Crows. And we don't know. They're both escorted to Maidenpool by Raff the Sweetling, so we don't know. So maybe we'll see him in Winds of Winter.
Right. That's interesting. And then hold on a second. Raff the Sweetling was seen. Let's see. Let's see. Because you click on him, right? He's one of the Mountain's Men, a Men-at-Arms in service to Clegane. Let's see. Sir Jaime, pauses at Harrenhal. He sees Raff wearing the chain of coins that once belonged to Hoat. After Sir Bonifer Hasty refuses to allow the Mountain's Men to stay, Jaime brings them to the River Run as a part of the force to besiege the castle. He notices two washerwomen playing with Raff and other men-at-arms. After the siege of Riverrun ends, Jaime orders a dozen Mountain's Men led by Raff to escort Robin Rhaegar and Desmond Grell to Maidenpool for their journey to the Wall. But in A Dance with Dragons, Sir Kevin Lannister suggests that Sir Harry Swift hire some of the Mountain's Men to add to his household guard. Doesn't really tell. So is that where they're... I thought that his story went on, like that... Raff the Sweetling. Oh, it's in a Winds of Winter chapter. Let me see here. Yeah.
His corpse is dumped into a Bravosi canal.
Right. So did he just go? He went on to Maidenpool. And then from there, what does he? That's an interesting thing. So he hands him over to somebody else, maybe there, because then he goes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Not Raff doesn't. Raff doesn't. But Raff is the one who kills Lami.
Right.
And Arya kills. Okay, I was like, hold on a second, this guy isn't over there, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so yeah, that, so who is she? She kills like so it's Harry's Swift is sent to negotiate the Iron
Throne. No, wait, she does. That's right. Yeah, because he goes
by Raff as one of the guards, yeah.
Yeah. Because he's sent when Harry is sent to negotiate the Iron Throne's debt to they go to Braavos and Arya kills him.
Right. So he's asking for the healer. So that's again, those could all change, right? The Winds of Winter chapters. But I guess, yeah. So was he just drop him off at Maidenpool? Like
he must.
Grell and Rhaegar. I mean, do they ever make it up to the wall?
We don't know because we don't see. I wonder when that. That's A Feast for Crows. Chapter 44 is the last time we see him. And then Raff. Is in A Dance with Dragons epilogue that he gets sent over, and then Winds of Winter. These are obviously all sample chapters, but that does make it into the well, some of the Winds of Winter champ. Well, yes, into the show, obviously. But
right. That's just cool. That's a cool thing to think about. You know, like those two guys will go on and join the Wall, and maybe their story continues on. But yeah, interesting.
Yeah, so. Okay, so throughout the chapter, right, Hoster Tully keeps saying the words Tansy. We went over a little bit in the summary. But so I pulled up some of the Song of Ice and Fire Reddit theories and stuff like that are going around. It says, we know that most Lord Hospitality's dying words are around a woman named Tansy, a name that Catelyn doesn't recognize. Lord Tully seems very guilt-ridden about her. Later in the series, we learn that there is a Tansy that's a barmaid in the Riverlands. So is there a chance, you know, that there's a bastard of House Tully running around waiting to avenge the Great House? Don't know about that, but some of the comments here, you know, Liza, when she's raving, actually gives us a recipe for moon tea at one point. She doesn't call it that, but some of the stuff she mentions, pennyroyal, wormwood, has been used to cause abortions. Tansy, the plant, is one of the things she mentions. So, wow. This guy says here, the chain of events, you put it together. Here we go. Little Petyr, as they call it in the books, Petyr Baelish, right? He switches back and forth, but we call it Peter, right?
Yeah.
But every once in a while, I do slip up and call it that. Little Peter, right, is in love with Catelyn, tries to fight Brandon Stark for her hand. He fails miserably. He's wounded in the fight. The wound gets infected, and he has a raging fever. Liza recognizes the opportunity to sleep with the guy she's been wanting to sleep with while he's delirious enough to think she's Catelyn. She makes love with him. That's kind of rape, but she's a young teen at this point. Liza realizes that she's pregnant. Whoops. Hoster Tully finds out, sends Peter Baelish back to the fingers. Then he tricks Liza into drinking moon tea to abort the baby. She doesn't know what she's drinking. She wanted that baby. Losing it destroys her, and she forever considers her father a murderer. Besides destroying her, the moon tea, or maybe the miscarriage that it included, also very specifically destroyed her reproductive system. Her dad marries her off hastily to John Aaron, and they try to have kids, but each one is, you know, dies or has a miscarriage. The only one to live is Robin, who's sickly and in danger of dying at any moment. Each miscarriage, stillbirth, and close call with Robin leaves Liza a little more insane. Each one is tragic in its own right, but each one also reminds her of that first baby, the one, if she could have kept, you know, would have changed her life. So that's why Hoster Tully is calling out Tansy on his deathbed. He wanted Liza to forgive him before he died, not just for the loss of the baby, but for the way that losing that baby ruined her life.
Yeah.
He says Littlefinger was drunk, not feverish. Edit. So I think that the Tansy that's a barmaid is a total misdirect. I think it is far more likely that the Tansy is the drug. I don't think Tansy is a person. Mm-hmm. Unless maybe it's both. I don't know. It could be Tansy gets used as a name. Maybe she was going to name the baby Tansy. She thought it was going to be a girl. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing is, too, Lysa doesn't come. Oh, I know the excuse is the war and all these different things, but she does not make any effort to come over or even write back, I think, to Catelyn about her father's death. And she's mentioned multiple, like, he's dying. He's not going to make it. And there's no real move or seemingly like effort to come see him one last time. So, yeah, there must be sort of a major rift between them.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think that the Tansy he's thinking about is it for starters, because some people have also theorized that maybe he was with a girl named Tansy or something. But
yeah,
that's sort of another thread onto this theory. But for me, I think it is he gave her this moon tea, Tansy, like another name for it, whatever, different version of it. Causing her to have a miscarriage, and I think it is likely that it was with Baelish. Because Baelish, for whatever reason, thinks that he took Catelyn's honor. Catelyn says he didn't,
right? Which is actually,
would you put it past Catelyn to just lie about it? I don't know,
yeah, maybe. But one addition to what you read there, I've seen that there's another situation that maybe not just once Lysa kind of got with Littlefinger, but maybe twice. And once was like,
right,
he was kind of put out or drunk after a kiss or something with Catelyn, I think. And then he thought like that Lysa was Catelyn maybe. And then the other one was the wounding, the fight afterwards.
Right.
So I don't know. But yeah. Either way, it seems like, yeah, she definitely, forced herself on Littlefinger. And then he kind of used that relationship and her position of power in the Vale, right, to climb his ladder, you know, and then to cause chaos, to be an agent of chaos, and John Aaron. And you know, basically them plotting to kill him and then bringing in Eddard Stark, getting him killed, the whole thing, just a way in which he can rise through the ranks, sort of get revenge on the people that wronged him back when he was younger and stuff. Because really, kind of through his brother, through Eddard Stark, he's able to get that kind of, you know, it's his paid city watch that come in there and take Eddard Stark. Treachery. Straight treachery.
I'm looking up the, there's another big thread about it. Because, you know, a lot of these, it's like the Westeros Forum and Reddit. It's typically like one of them will always sort of rise to the top. Yeah. There's another one here. Let me just, this is, share this as well. This is just the forum, which is attached to the wiki. He goes on to say here, or she goes on here to say here. So who is this person? You know, Hoster Tully mentions a Tansy and forgiveness and the pain of the milk of the poppy induced sleep. Catelyn hears him, but doesn't know what of a Tansy, and Hoster no longer seems to be able to, coherent. In the Arya chapter in A Storm of Swords, we meet a Tansy. I can only assume this is the same one. She's described several times as a red-haired, which seems a blatant drop-in. Now I notice that Catelyn and Lysa are both red-haired, so could Tansy be a daughter of Hoster's? From the way she is, I assume Tansy's around 30, so being Hoster's daughter is a possibility. Do we learn more about her in later books? As far as sort of asking questions. This brings me on to Bella, a prostitute in the Peach, where we meet Tansy. She tells Gendry and Arya that she might be Robert's bastard, and the wiki says that she is an unacknowledged bastard of his. She claims that her mother was a favorite of Robert's before/during the Battle of the Bells. So my question is, who is her mother? And the Battle of the Bells is brought up in this chapter. Again, sorry, this person's out, but this person goes on to say here, Tansy is a plant used to induce abortions. Hoster is saying Tansy because he regrets making Lysa take it. And afterwards, we know Lysa can't have kids. So it goes on to there. And everyone sort of agrees with that. But just so for reference,
consider the other side of it.
That is kind of, those are the two sort of sides of the argument.
Right. Is that, you know, maybe he had a bastard child, or got with someone who was named, you know, maybe they attempted to abort some child and it didn't work like that, you know?
And, you know, this is one of those theories that's kind of unfortunate because I don't think we're ever going to get any answers on it.
Yeah,
because it's already sort of, we're already past where it would play itself out. Unless Littlefinger brings it up at some point in the future, there's no. And so, like, this is kind of one of the things I think we need to think about with a lot of the other theories. We've like, not every theory is getting explained, folks.
No,
unfortunately. But no. So this is kind of, unless Tansy is a bastard of Hoster Tully. But I guess what would that do for us going forward in Winds of Winter and A Dream of Spring?
Not much. Nothing. Yeah, I don't think it would do it. Because the thing is, like you said, a lot of the people that this would matter to, you know, are gone, right? Catelyn's Lady Stoneheart, Lysa's dead, Hoster's gone. You've got Edmure captured, maybe doing his thing. Blackfish still might care a little bit, but she's just working. You know, I just don't think it's going to matter that much. That's actually what I've wondered a lot of times about the bastards. It's really just a clue to... almost like, so ridiculous, and we have a historical context for it too. You have like the lesser bastards and the greater bastards, you know, those. So one would be Edric Storm, right? Edric Storm is an acknowledged bastard, correct, of Robert?
Yes.
And so that he has some, I mean, he's got more, since he's a bastard of a high lady, he has some potential to be given the name Baratheon or Florent or whatever, or to be given some title or some land or something, you know, that's a possibility. But these other ones, they don't really, you know, like they're kind of not, I don't know. They're not going to, like Gendry. I mean, he's going to befriend some people and maybe.
Yeah.
I just don't know. I don't know that that the realm is going to be that open to, getting behind Robert's bastard to who, not even a great lady of any kind or whatever. So that seems to be a conversation. That seems to be something that George says in the history is like with Aegon. Is it Aegon the Fourth? I always blank. Is it Aegon the Unworthy?
Yeah.
Aegon the Unworthy, yeah. So Aegon the Fourth and all of his bastards, right? I mean, he had many more that weren't. I mean, again, I know he legitimizes all of them, as Matt always says, but some had higher kind of positions just based upon the positions of their mother, you know, and then also their relationship to Targaryen bastards, right? Versus non-Targaryen. I mean, you know, having right. a mother who was a Blackwood, right? Or whatever, a Bracken. So,
yeah.
All
interesting. It's all, I know. So that's how we end, sort of how we end all of our interesting because it is.
It right? is interesting. Yeah. Yeah. I want more answers, my friend. Always have.
Well, we will get some, you know, probably when we get House of the Dragon, because we're getting some new, you know, we're getting some new Targaryen books and stuff later this year. And I think that will help yeah. us tie us over until in the event Winds of Winter does ever come out. So, okay. Well, that's really sort of the chapter. The chapter itself this week is sort of short. It was only around 25 minutes. So next week, what are we taking a look at? We are at Arya 1.
Yep.
So now we're going to move into Harrenhal and Roose Bolton. Remember, this is a, for those of you guys who are just, I know we have a lot of people who are just show watchers only, and they're to listen to us tell us what happens in the books. This is one of the biggest changes that we'll dive into next time, which is Arya and Tywin and like the cupbearer stuff mm-hmm. in yeah. does not happen at all in the books. Totally right. different character. Roose Bolton right. that it happens with. So big change, and that'll sort of start next week. So awesome. All right. Well, as always, guys, thank you guys for listening so much. Be sure to check out Ez and I anywhere on the internet at Super Games Bros or at WompRat_2M. Ez, anything in here as we well, close up shop?
I think we just want to mention too, like we are kind of, Matt and I have decided as we get ready, we gear up for House of Dragon. I think it's okay to say this, right? That we're going to probably be dropping the chapters. And then I think we're going to be coming back with a Raven, right? We're going to be coming
yes.
back.
Yes, we will. Yeah. Yep.
So we mentioned the chapter. You'll if you look for like the individual logos, you'll see the Storm of Swords logo, which will tell you that's the chapter. And then look for that either red or black dragon, and that'll kind of indicate that we're going to be dropping a Raven on you guys for
yeah, exactly
the podcast, which is exactly. which is cool. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah. So stay tuned for that. So, awesome. All right, guys. Well, as always, thank you guys for listening. In our next chapter, we will be discussing chapter 3 of A Storm of Swords, Arya 1.
Yep. If you like the podcast, yeah. don't forget to subscribe, like us, write a review, send us that Raven at btkcast@gmail.com.
Hey, that's all right. As you know, I've been changing up the intros, outros lately. I've just been doing them all myself. So sorry.
I know. I was like,
tossed it to it. I was like, let's, here we go.
There we go.
Awesome. All right. Well, we will see you guys next time. And remember that winter is coming.